back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Tom Crawford, the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS. Give us a call, 393-3700, the number to call. Tom, are you following the Big Ten icons unveiling 2x2?
No, I haven't. I've been watching a lot of Big Ten. You know what I've been watching a lot? Big Ten Film Vault.
Yes.
Because I've been all over that 1971 season, which I wish would happen again. When Michigan
Eric Allen was on that, right?
No. Bill Fleming's talking about the Michigan Wolverines churning up 350 yards of rushing every Saturday afternoon.
You know what it reminded me of? 1971 Big Ten football is like Boise State, except it's through the air instead of on the ground. But the fact that you really only had one game you had to win for Michigan or Ohio State, it's kind of like Boise State.
Well, it's like Bob Ufer said, there's two parts of the season, the first 10 and the last one.
They're
like literally in half.
Absolutely.
But I haven't. So the icons I have not watched a lot, but enlighten me. You had a comment about it.
Yeah. Indiana's Scott May and Minnesota's Neil Broughton, the last two to be named, and Big Ten Network going from 50 to 1. Let's go back out to our phones. Very happy to welcome in our next guest, Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com. Hello, Adam. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jack and Tom. How are you guys doing?
Just fine. You are in Columbus for Miami and Ohio State. And what do we learn about Terrell Pryor today?
Well, I think we see him under more duress than he was in the opener against Marshall. Really had a lot of time to sit back there, make good decisions. He didn't really need to think about taking off and running. I think today what will be interesting to see is how often he kind of goes back to the old ways of Terrell Pryor and uses his legs, or maybe sticks in the pocket more and shows that maturity that we've been hearing about. Makes his good decisions, spreads the ball around. So I think it'll be interesting to see how he performs under some more pressure, because he faced virtually none in the opener.
Adam, it's Tom here. You know, I'm really curious to really see how this Ohio State team is this week, because I just think that, you know, that this lofty ranking, we really don't know yet, do we, about how good the Buckeyes are until today? Because this Miami team going to get better. It's better than that team from last year that lost to Wisconsin in the Champs Bowl.
Yeah, Tom, I think that game kind of clouds a lot of our judgment in the Midwest about Miami, just because they looked so bad against Wisconsin, should have lost by, you know, a lot more than they did. Yeah, you know, again, with all these highly ranked teams, you know, Alabama we're going to find out about today, Ohio State we're going to find out more about today, you know, Florida. So, yeah, I think, yeah, there's obviously that's involved, but I do think this is a good team. I think it's a complete team, very, very few holes. They need to clean up a few things on special teams, but I just like the makeup of this team. They look different in their opener against Marshall than they have the last couple of years. They seem to struggle, you know, against Navy and Ohio, and they've had these kind of poor performances against inferior teams, and I think this is a little bit different. But again, they have to get it done against a very fast and a very athletic team. Ohio State still gets branded fairly or unfairly with that, you know, slow Big Ten label. Well, here's a chance to go out and prove it against a team that everyone acknowledges is one of the more athletic squads in the country.
Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com, our guest on the Jack and Tom Show. Adam, in light of the knocks against the Big Ten in recent years, they did go 4-3 in bowls with two BCS wins last year. How important is today, not just Ohio State-Miami, but
huge,
Michigan represents itself very well in South Bend, and that Penn State is respectable in Tuscaloosa?
Right, I think that's exactly right. I think the one game you have to win is Ohio State-Miami. You're favored. It's on Big Ten soil. The weather could be a little nasty, which I think favors Ohio State. I do think that game, if you lose it, really does hurt the Big Ten's reputation. And I think you're right about Penn State-Alabama. You know, no one around the country realistically expects Penn State to win that game, but I think a blowout loss to the defending national champ wouldn't look good to the Big Ten, so you want to keep that one within range. And then Michigan-Notre Dame is kind of the toss-up game. We don't really know how good Notre Dame is. Michigan certainly looked better than expected last week, but that's always a big game. You know, whether or not Notre Dame is great or not, people pay attention to them. So, you know, for Purdue, Michigan, and Michigan State every year, that's a game where you can help yourself nationally with your reputation.
You know, Adam, I couldn't agree with you more about the and Jack as well, as far as the necessity of the Big Ten doing well. Last year, they kind of stumbled around in the preseason, the non-conference play. Then you kind of have the inbreeding, as I call it. You're playing each other during the conference play. You really can't validate yourself. And then they finally did it at the end in the bowl games. That's why I think the Big Ten, if they want to have a national championship candidate or have multiple BCS team candidates, you really got to bring it strong. And you can't screw up in any of these. You know, a lot of the other Big Ten teams are playing some pretty soft competition. You can't stumble in one of those situations as well.
Sure, yeah, you don't want Iowa losing to Iowa State or something like that. But, yeah, it certainly matters right now. I don't think it matters as much as the bowls, because that leaves a lasting impression.
Right.
And it really does carry over through the offseason. But you're absolutely right. You know, if you want to be a league that's considered worthy of a national championship team, and I think Ohio State certainly is at the top of that list, you do want to do well in these games this week and even next week. You know, there's some games. USC comes to Minnesota. Iowa goes out to Arizona. So there's some opportunities there as well. But, no, this is obviously, this time of year, you have to validate yourself. It is conference versus conference, very much so. And so, this is a big weekend for the Big Ten, without a doubt.
We're talking with Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com. When you look at the top of this conference, Adam, everyone talks about Ohio State, number two in the polls, and a possible BCS championship game participant. How big of a drop-off, if any, do you see between the Buckeyes and Iowa and Wisconsin, and how big of a drop-off after that from the top three?
Well, I think there is separation. It's hard to tell with Penn State. I think we'll learn a lot more about them today, but I do see some separation between the top three and the rest of the league. I don't see a ton of separation between the top three themselves. I mean, obviously, Iowa took Ohio State to the brink last year in overtime on the road without their starting quarterback, Ricky Stanzi, so you couldn't say they were too far away from the Buckeyes. And, we don't know that much about Iowa yet. They haven't played anybody. They play Iowa State today. They play Arizona on the road next week, a huge game. So we'll learn a lot more about their team. And I think Wisconsin has the most complete offense in the Big Ten, just great run-pass balance. Their questions are on the defensive side, but they actually had a pretty good ball game on defense against UNLV. But, again, we'll learn more in the coming weeks. I just don't think right now we can pack it up and give the title to Ohio State, because they have to go on the road, let's remember, to both Madison and Iowa City. So I think it's going to be a very exciting Big Ten race. And even a team like Michigan State, I think, has the schedule and the talent to sneak in there.
You know, Adam, when I think about this Michigan-Notre Dame game, a lot of the topical thing this week is who is it most important to, Notre Dame, Brian Kelly, and then Rich Rodriguez. I think it's slam dunk on this. This is more important to Michigan, because if this is the year that Rich Rod has to deliver, and then you got two, gimme games coming up. And so if you beat Notre Dame, you go undefeated into the big home duel between Michigan State and then Iowa, you really set yourself up to get the naysayers off your back for Rich Rod.
Without a doubt. It's clearly more important to Michigan. It was more important before the season, and it's more important after last week, especially the way Michigan played. You're absolutely right. You have the chance to be where you were last year when people were talking you up as a top 25 team, and then things fell apart beginning with that Michigan State game. So, yeah, absolutely. You win today, you're going to be 4-0 going to Indiana, a team that, gave you a lot of trouble last year. But if you win that one, you're 5-0. Then entering a pivotal game, a game that I think is the most important on Rich Rodriguez's schedule. You can't lose to Michigan State for the third consecutive season. So huge today, but even if you don't win today, I think there's a pretty good chance you're going to be 4-1 going into that Michigan State game. That one, to me, guys, is really the big, big test for how this season is going to go for Rich and Michigan.
Tom, you've seen Michigan State games for how long?
Since 64.
Okay. Between us, I would say we have seen 70 Michigan State games. Do you remember a more important one than this?
No, I don't. And this even trumps, guys, that 1999 game when both teams were undefeated in the top 10. And they end up having great seasons. It's more important than that because of the downside of losing. So I couldn't agree with you more, Adam, on the importance of, in particular, Michigan. I mean, if Michigan lose, and even Michigan State, because this is Michigan State's opportunity, as Tom Izzo did with Michigan basketball, stepped on the throat. This is the opportunity for Mark D'Antonio to step on the throat of the University of Michigan's football program and beat them 3 years in a row. This is a huge game on October 9th, not to get ahead of ourselves.
Absolutely, and just to win two of those games on the road is also something that would be huge for Mark D'Antonio and that team. And I think you know, if we want to say who's it more important to, it's more important to Michigan because they've lost two in a row and they haven't lost three in a row for decades. But yeah, it is huge, and it's going to be a great game. Obviously, always a heated rivalry within the state. And you know, again, you look at Michigan's schedule, and they have some great opportunities: Ohio State, Iowa, Penn State, Wisconsin. But if I had to identify one game that Rich really, really needs, it's Michigan State.
Well, it has been 1,042 days, Tom. I just thought I'd bring you up to speed on that.
Another question
since Michigan defeated Michigan State in any sport that matters to you. Wanted to talk for just a minute about Big Ten expansion and the alignment, the way the divisions shook out. Is there a winner and a loser in this, Adam?
Well, as far as divisions, I guess you could say some schools have bigger gripes than the others, but I think for the Big Ten as a whole, to expand and add a school like Nebraska with so much tradition, national championships, a school that moves the needle nationally, I talk a lot about that on my blog, you know, what type of addition would attract attention to your league and allow yourself to showcase your teams on national TV and so forth. I think in that every respect, it's a great addition. The only maybe drawback is it's not the most populated state, obviously, but I do think around the country, Nebraska football certainly matters. So overall, a very good addition. And in terms of the divisions, aside from maybe Wisconsin, which was removed from from Minnesota and Iowa, and I know they wanted a rivalry with Nebraska, being put in the opposite division, there's definitely a gripe there. But otherwise, I think they did a pretty good job of achieving their two top goals, which were competitive balance and maintaining the rivalries.
You know, guys, you know what? Not to get ahead of ourselves, but in 2011, Jack, this is going to blow you away. Michigan ends their season at home with Nebraska and Ohio State
out
to close their season. In that same year, next year,
both at home.
Yeah, both at home, and then the next year, Michigan State's got Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio State, and Nebraska. If I'm not mistaken, all in a row. So look what Nebraska is going to bring to the table to get to Pasadena. Pretty tough stuff.
Adam said. Someone said that the individual who was the biggest winner in this whole deal was Jim Delaney.
I mean, you look at, obviously the Pac-10 came close to blowing up college football, and destroying the Big 12, but it didn't happen. So you have to look at who really won in all of it. And I do think Delaney is among the winners. You know, the Big 10 started it. They didn't expand, make the big expansion that we were all hearing was going to happen in the spring, you know, a five-team deal. But I certainly think the presidents are pleased with Nebraska and the program on the rise. I mean, they're excited about being part of the Big Ten. In some ways, it's a program that stylistically fits very much in line with the Big Ten. Very similar program to Wisconsin and to Iowa. I think you have a great potential rivalry there with Michigan. I think you have a great rivalry with Nebraska, crossover protected thing. So, it was a big win for the Big Ten, considering that Notre Dame didn't make a move, that Texas didn't make a move, that some of the real, real big dogs ended up staying put where they were.
And it's not going to change, in my mind, for a long, long time unless Texas makes a move or Notre Dame makes a move. Mm-hmm. Those are the two trump cards, don't you think, Adam?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I really thought all along that Notre Dame would only make a move if Texas made a move. That they weren't. They only were going to be forced to do something. It wasn't going to be something they wanted to do. They really are comfortable being independent. As odd as that is for a lot of people to understand, it's a part of their identity. And so I think unless Texas, the only other school that really brand wise can match up to Notre Dame nationally, makes a move, I really don't see the Irish doing anything in the immediate future.
Well, I think the Big Ten is satisfied for now.
Oh, absolutely. It should be.
It's in a good position and doesn't have to do anything, doesn't have to react, and it can just adjust to situations. Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com, our guest. Adam, thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Okay, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Enjoy your game today. We will be back and have a little bit more open line coming up, and then Dr. John Braccio, Dave Jones, the Harrisburg Patriot News. We'll have our picks at the end, and we'll talk a little bit more college football coming up on the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.